How we doing? It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Just two housekeeping notes here. Number one, we were talking about Hickey, how he's going to some bachelor party this weekend in 114-degree Scottsdale, Arizona. Can I make one request for you or a demand and just see if you will do this? Because you were supposed to, when we were at the Super Bowl in Phoenix, Arizona, you were supposed to go get some cactus candy and we were supposed to sample it on the air. Now, to be fair to the Hickster, his plans got all messed up because you had food poisoning and all that stuff. And when did you even get to the Super Bowl to join us on Radio Row? Was that Wednesday or Thursday? When was your first day with us?
I landed Tuesday night. First show was Wednesday.
Okay. So I guess we just kind of forgot about the cactus candy. Well, no, you actually had some in the airport, if memory serves me right, which I was very insulted by.
That's right.
So I'll pay you for it. I don't know how much it costs. But can you bring me back some cactus candy so I can finally sample it on the good old airwaves here of CBS Sports Radio?
Sure, I can do that.
Now, would you also do one other thing? This, it's your call. Harry Brockway on Twitter, who listens to this show and tweets us a good amount, he says he works in Scottsdale, and he would love to meet the Hickster in person when he's in town. You get a wine and dine with Harry Brockway? Coming up in Scottsdale, Arizona this upcoming weekend.
Potentially. I'm not going to say no. No. I'm open to it. But I'm not going to make promises. I don't know exactly what's planned.
And you don't want to disrupt the bachelor party.
So if we can make it work, I am open to it. Absolutely. But yes, I'm not going to just ditch my friends for that, you know, whatever. If we have something set up, man of honor. Holy cow. The best man has done a great job so far at setting up a game plan.
Do you have an itinerary?
Yes, I believe for the most part, yes.
That didn't get emailed to you, though? Like,
no.
When I went to Barcelona for a bachelor party this past year, what a sentence that is. We had a full itinerary that was sent to us. So we knew everything that was going to happen for the most part. So kind of surprised you don't have the itinerary, but sometimes it's better when you don't really know what's going to happen at a bachelor party. Maybe you could use your one phone call when you're at the Slammer to get bailed out by Harry Brockway. That'd be great. A Zach Gelb Show listener gets you out of the Slammer.
Why am I going in the Slammer?
I don't know.
What do you think I'm going to do?
Well, when you get a little alcohol in your system, you turn into a different person, judging by how you were walking out of the Rose Bowl this past year.
Sure. I mean, I could maybe say some things like Penn State's going to the College Football Playoff next year.
No one understood what you were saying.
Sure. The guilty is charged. Absolutely. I may get a little too jacked up about my teams.
You were saying the Donovan Mitchell Invitational walking out of the Rose Bowl. I had no clue what the heck you were saying.
I'll do anything illegal. The Donovan Mitchell Invitational.
Yeah, you were saying in dominant fashion. And when it was played back, it sounded like you were saying the Donovan Mitchell Invitational when you were saying dominant fashion.
Okay. All right. My bad. Yeah. I mean, sometimes if I get intoxicated, do I get a little too excited about the future of my teams? Guilty. You're right. If that's a crime, lock me up, officer. But nothing illegal. I don't break any laws. I don't say things I shouldn't.
But sometimes you get the alcohol muscles that take over. And how many guys are going on this bachelor party?
There's 8 of us total.
So if it's 8 of you, bunch of punks out in Scottsdale, Arizona, a place that you're not familiar with. You say the wrong thing to the wrong person out in the desert. Who knows? Maybe you're getting a little throwdown at the bar. A little bar fight.
I appreciate that you think me and my friends are tough enough that we're going to go looking for a fight.
Oh, I don't think you're tough enough.
And now we're going to have like a bar brawl.
I don't think you're tough enough, but I'm just wondering if sometimes you have a, let's say, not the most social crew in the world, starting to have a little bit too much social time and some crazy things do happen. And then it kind of turns into the scene in The Replacements when the whole team goes into the jail and they're singing, I Will Survive. That's what I kind of envision there. So if you do go to jail, you'll have a Zach Gelb Show listener, Harry Brockway, who will be willing to bail you out of jail, I'm sure.
Thank you, Harry. Do not worry about saving bail money. Not necessary because I ain't going to jail.
Are you going to any college football trips this year? I know you told me you're going to the Penn State-West Virginia game, right?
That's right. Week one, Labor Day weekend.
Is that it?
Night game.
Last year you went to War Eagle Country and you saw Penn State and Auburn. Going
That's
on any
right.
other trips?
No, sir. This year so far, and we'll see if the schedule hopefully dictates maybe a Big Ten championship game, maybe a college football playoff appearance. All of a sudden that, you know, then all things are, you know, all bets are off. right now, hopefully this is will change, but right now, just one Labor Day weekend, Penn State, West Virginia.
So today I booked my first college football trip of the year. Myself and two of my friends, my closest friends, we are flying out on a Friday in the last Friday of September. We are flying into Kansas City. We're going to stop at Jack Stacks in Kansas City. And then we are going to drive from Kansas City 3 hours to Lincoln, Nebraska. And we are going to see the Nebraska Cornhuskers, led by head football coach Matt Rhule in year one, go up against the Michigan Wolverines. And that is supposed to be, assuming this four-game suspension happens, the return of Jim Harbaugh after the four cupcake games to the sidelines for the Michigan Wolverines. But I booked that trip today. Group chats have been sensational between me and two friends. But the vibes are high right now, and I'm excited to go to a little Cornhusker territory to see Nebraska, Michigan.
Who are you rooting for?
I will be... Ooh, that's a tough one.
Matt Rhule, your guy.
I'll be pulling for Nebraska that day.
Wow.
Michigan's going to win the game, but that day I'm going to be pulling for the Cornhuskers.
You're going to put a...
I just know so many people on the coaching staff.
Corn head on your head? Or corn cob on your head?
I don't know. I'll play up the crowd a little bit.
Do as the Romans do?
I'll do whatever people want me to do. But that's a trip that I'm going to. Now, I don't know if I'm going to be able to swing this, but I have two other football games that I'm monitoring. This one I definitely think I'm going to go to. Mario Cristobal is coming to Philadelphia to play my Temple Owls the weekend before that. That's on a Saturday, so I think I'm going to make the quick drive down the turnpike to see Miami and Temple.
Is that because of the whole Manny Diaz situation?
No, it has nothing to do with it. That game was just on the schedule, and then COVID happened, and it got pushed back.
Miami visiting Temple.
Mm-hmm. And they signed, I think it's a home and home.
Good for Temple.
I believe.
Very good for Temple.
Or supposed to be home and home. I don't know if our game in Miami just got wiped because of COVID. And then the other game that I'm potentially scheduling. This one I don't know if I'll be able to swing. It would require me to fly Friday of Thanksgiving weekend. Michigan, Ohio State in the Big House. The game. Which, did you see, by the way, that Ryan Day was talking about at Big Ten Media Days potentially moving that game, which is legendary, right? On Thanksgiving weekend that Saturday, because next year, as you know, Hickey, Mr. Big Ten football himself, the Big Ten is going away from divisions, and then you have a chance that if it's Michigan, Ohio State the last weekend for the game, that if those are the two best teams of the conference, which they've been for the most part in recent memory, the last few years, the last 2-3 years, then even though they haven't met up in the Big Ten championship game because you have the two different divisions, they would then play again. And when I first heard that, I said, that's not the worst idea in the world. But I was reading an article on Barstool Sports. And forgive me, I forgot who wrote it on Barstool Sports. It made a great point. Like, imagine if you're Michigan, let's just say, you beat Ohio State. Imagine them being able to beat them the following weekend again. That's like the ultimate domination card, or as you would say, the Donovan Mitchell Invitational, going up against your rival. Or on the other side, you lose, let's just say, you're Ohio State, you lose to Michigan. How many times as an opponent do you always say, oh, I want to see those guys again. I want to get those guys right back the following week, and you have an opportunity to redeem yourself. So at first I was thinking, maybe they should move that game because of that thought with how big that game is and how historical that game is. You don't want to see it back-to-back weekends. But the more I thought about it and read about it on Barstool Sports, I'm actually on board in keeping that Michigan-Ohio State game on Thanksgiving weekend and have the possibility that it's going to then see it back-to-back years for a little stretch of time.
Very cute. Very cute that Ohio State and Michigan are worried about maybe possibly having a rematch as the conference gets harder and they're worried about their big rivalry now possibly being 2 years in a row.
Okay,
very cute.
So I understand that. That's fine. But your school has to step up and deliver this year. Because your schedule is a cupcake schedule outside of those two big games, Michigan and Ohio State. And you know me, I don't like to give Penn State many compliments. Your football team on paper, they should only have one loss. They should be able to split, if they're as good as advertised, the Michigan-Ohio State, the two games on their schedule. You should only have one loss in the regular season. But I don't want to hear the Penn State fan getting annoyed by that comment if James Franklin turns out to be a loser like what he usually is up against top 10 and top 5 football teams. That's all I'm going to say. Now, you do get USC into the conference, which Lincoln Riley, we saw the success he had in the Big 12 at Oklahoma and what he did in year one. If he just has some sort of defense, they could be a player for years and years to come. You know, Wisconsin with Luke Fickell, intriguing. But right now, everyone in the conference is chasing Ohio State and Michigan. And for a while, everyone was chasing Ohio State and then Michigan the last 2 years. They have defeated Ohio State twice and also have won the Big Ten. Now, there's different tiers of people that are tugging on the cape, and Penn State is right there. But this is an enormous year for your football program. And I hate to say it, it's kind of like Notre Dame, where you see Notre Dame get into the college football playoff, and it's like, all right, are they really that good? Or when they got to the national championship game against Alabama, are they really that good? And then they get embarrassed, and it's like, oh, why should I believe in Notre Dame until they find a way to go win a college football playoff game? For Penn State, if there is a year to go make a statement with so much talent and NFL talent, it's this year. And if your team doesn't deliver, why should I ever trust or believe in James Franklin again to beat a team that's in the top 10 or the top 5 where his record has been abysmal?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, Penn State's got a hold up there in the bargain, but I'm just more laughing at the fact that now all of a sudden Michigan, after two really great years, to their credit, they've been great the last 2 years. But outside of that, they've really not been in the Big Ten title picture for most of Jim Harbaugh's tenure, and even long before that. All of a sudden now we're talking about moving one of the biggest rivalry games in the country because of a short two-year span. As you're getting teams that are better, as you're adding USC, by the way, to the conference, they are going to be near the top of the conference every year, probably bare minimum. It just, to me, that's very funny and very presumptuous that all of a sudden now we got to think about moving this historical game up because, God forbid, you know, once every 10 years we may play in the Big Ten title game. We can't have that.
Oh, it's going to be more than once every 10 years.
I would be surprised.
As long as, well, I feel even great about that, even better about that. As long as Jim Harbaugh's at Michigan, which if you tell me Jim Harbaugh leaves, which is on the table, then it is a totally different story. But if you have Harbaugh at Michigan, you know that you're going to, I'm not saying you're going to see it every year, but I would guarantee that happens more than just once in the next decade. But let me just ask you this, you know, stop being a jackass and just answer the question here. If let's say I told you that you're guaranteed the next two Big Ten championship games, once you get rid of divisions, to be Ohio State and Michigan, would that annoy you that you see it in back-to-back weeks? You being the college football savant here at CBS Sports Radio.
Not at all. Why would that bother me? Two great teams playing, and either one you presume is to get into the Big Ten title, whether it's Ohio State or Michigan needing to win that game. And then the other is, okay, now here's a chance to get a home game in the college football playoff, get a better seed, find a path, whatever it is. There's still a lot on the line, so I like good football. That's all I want. And if that in 1 year it means that the last two games of the Big Ten season are against Ohio State and Michigan, I'm not going to really care.
And I agree with you for the most part. And I know we disagree here on the college football playoff, but since you bring it up, it just shows you why going to 12 is something I'm not a fan of, because it takes away the importance of the Ohio State-Michigan game at that final week of the season, and now they're going away from divisions, and it's going to be the two best teams in the conference. I like when everything is all on the line. Now for a lot of those games, sure, there's extra incentives to win the game, and you want to win the game, and you want to win as many games as possible, and home field advantage, however this gets set up, and all that jazz. But I love when it's all on the line for only four spots. It's going to get watered down when you go to 12, and you're going to be able to have some insurance even if you lose that game, which stinks.
Well, what about last year? Big game. Michigan won. Even though Ohio State got into the playoff, I don't think waters down their win.
But last year was an anomaly because every team that was vying for that fourth spot fell down and Ohio State backed their way in. When you have 12 teams, you know if you're top three in the Big Ten heading into that final week of the season, you're going to find a way to get into that, you know, those 12 teams that are out there.
And you would think, but, I mean, those spots get eaten up fast. It's one loss. I think it still could really hurt your chances. And, again, I don't think anything was taken away from last year's game, and both made it in a four-team playoff. So if that's happened where you have two highly ranked teams, I mean, I don't think that's, you know, a situation.
But when
where
they
we
lost
knew...
that game, Ohio State, everyone thought the Ohio State season was over, and then bleep hit the fan, and they still found their way the following week to back themselves in.
And what was it, one loss with USC, right? I think off the top of my head, that was the only domino that fell in order to get them in. So it's
Clemson?
Like it's also
Clemson losing too.
Well, they lost before that to Notre Dame, so but they were already out before that.
But that was heading into That was heading into that same weekend of the Michigan Ohio State when Clemson lost.
Yeah, but they got blown up by Notre Dame. I think their kind of season ended there.
No, but they still had a chance to get into the college football playoff.
And those South Carolina, sure. But again, like, it doesn't take away the fact that Michigan Ohio State was a big game last year. That was the biggest game of the year last year.
Yes.
And they both got in, so nothing was taken away.
But once again, it's an anomaly that year because all the teams that were vying for that fourth spot that you would get on the air each and every week and be like, oh, they're going to find the way to get in the college football playoff. Then they would choke by going to 12. It gives you insurance, and that is what something I don't like. And quite frankly, after watching last college football season, I don't need to see this thing go to 12. Because look, we were begging just to try to find four teams, and we had to back Ohio State in. So I just don't like, to me, and I think it's 100%, it does take away from the game. But now I'm kind of rooting that happens each and every year that we see Ohio State and Michigan. Because it would annoy you. Because you're already getting annoyed with just the conversation that Ryan Day brought up.
Well, of course I want Penn State to be in the mix every single year. Of course I would be annoyed if they're not, and they're losing every year to Michigan and Ohio State. Absolutely. I would hope that would annoy every single fan of every single fan base. If you're in the SEC, I hope you're not happy to see Alabama and Georgia playing every single year in the college football playoff or in the SEC title game. You should want to be in there.
It's been great games. Now, Jay Smith, he tweets this. Jay is a listener to the show. He goes, Ryan Hickey, you've lost your mind. Drink water. Dry heat only means you don't realize you're sweating because it evaporates immediately. Zach Gelb is right. You're going to the hospital, most likely. Man, people really root for you to go down.
I never said I was going to go on a thirst strike. I'm not even going to probably drink on the course. I'm going to be drinking water.
Oh, you're going to have some beers at a bachelor party and a golf course? Come on.
What are you,
a loser?
Plenty of time before and after.
Stop.
I think that's about survival.
You don't usually play golf. 18 holes, you're going to need to be drinking some booze to enjoy.
Well, if it's that hot, I'm going to be drinking water and surviving. No heat stroke here.
Okay. We'll see. Guarantee you we'll get some douchey video of Hickey in a bucket hat with so much sunscreen on his nose drinking, I don't know, like a Michelob Ultra or something, saying, guys, here we... Oh, no, Bud Light for Hickey, definitely. I've seen the Instagram post 9,000 times. You can't miss them. Guys, my 17th beer of the day, as you did a few weekends ago. Come on. You're at a bachelor party. You're going to be drinking. You're going to be drinking all day, all night. And how many days you going? 4 days, something like that? You'll be drinking for a long time. Jerry Hairston Jr. will join us on the other side to recap the MLB trade deadline.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. You know what, Hickey? Jerry Hairston Jr. is a great immaculate grid answer because he started his career with the Orioles, then played for the Cubs, the Rangers, the Reds, the Yankees where he won a World Series, the Padres, the Nationals, the Brewers, and then ended his career with the Dodgers, and now he is a Dodgers broadcaster, and we'll recap the trade deadline with the former MLB player and Jerry Hairston Jr. right now. Jerry, how you been?
I've been great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Do you play Immaculate Grid? And I'm sure you have to use yourself a lot, right?
You know what? I don't play that game, but trust me, I get hit up on Twitter all the time from fans and saying that, hey, man, you're one of those guys that we can use. I'm like, you're welcome, I guess. But I heard it's been a pretty popular game the last couple months.
Yeah, it is the sports fans' Wordle is the way that I would kind of compare it right now. And it's been a fun exercise the last few weeks when I've dabbled in that game. But let me start you off with the trade deadline. A few days ago, Rangers make the trade for Max Scherzer, and the Astros answer back by having a reunion with Justin Verlander. How about both those two teams moving forward and getting two big-name pitchers?
Yeah, I mean, obviously those two teams have really become rivals since they both are now in the same division. You have two great big game pitchers in Scherzer going to the Rangers, and obviously Verlander getting reunited with the Astros and Dusty Baker. So, Verlander, he had all the power, and he could have dictated where he wanted to go. Rumors were circulating that he might be heading to the Dodgers or somewhere else, but I know he's very familiar with Dusty and the Astros. At the very end, they were able to throw in a pretty good prospect to the Mets to get Verlander. So huge day for both the Astros and obviously a couple days ago, the Rangers.
The AL is a giant question mark. When we were at the All-Star break, I gave five predictions, and I said I'm going to still rock with the Astros in the AL, and I feel better about that today because they did acquire Justin Verlander, as we're talking about. Who's the team that you believe in the most in the American League moving forward for the next few months of the season?
Well, that is just such a tough thing to predict. You know, I would have said maybe a few days ago that the Rangers are playing so great and well together. They could swing the bat. They hit the long ball. They got some speed. And now you add in a guy to their rotation and Max Scherzer, who's been pitching pretty well of late, a veteran guy that knows how to pitch in the big games. They are a team that will be a force to reckon with. But now that the Astros got Justin Verlander, they're just getting healthy. They just got Alvarez back, Altuve back. They know how to win. They won it last year. It'd be hard to pick against them, especially now they just got Verlander back. And obviously that clubhouse, I'm sure, is feeling good. Adding another veteran guy who could pitch in big games. I may have to pick the Astros.
How about the team that you started your career off with in the Baltimore Orioles? Is it just, you know, how many youthful names that you have on that team that they may need a little bit more time to go make a big run in the postseason, even though they have the best record right now in the AL?
You know, I want to pick them. I really do. But again, the next 2 months is really when you start to separate yourself. And it's good to have veteran guys that have been there before. Now, I'm not counting them out. They have the talent, they have the ability, and I think they're a year ahead of schedule. And I think I just heard, correct me if I'm wrong, they just got Flaherty to add to their rotation. So that's a really big move for them. And what it does, it shows that clubhouse that, hey, ownership, it backs us and believes in us. The talent is certainly there. They can score runs in a variety of different ways. They play great together. And their bullpen is nasty. So I want to pick them, but again, usually down the stretch, you always give the edge to a team that's been there before. That doesn't mean that they can't do it. But if I were to pick, you know, between the Astros and the Orioles, I'm going to lean towards the Astros this year. But the Orioles, I think for many years to come, they're gonna be a force to be reckoned with.
Jerry Hairston Jr. here with us. The Yankees right now are in last place in a very tough AL East. They're 3.5 games back of that final wild card spot, a team that you won a World Series with. I think they're going to miss the playoffs. How about you?
I hate to say it. I think they are, too. They just don't. The bat-to-ball skills there, they have a lot of guys that just don't do that. And, you know, their offense has been really non-existent. I know they got Aaron Judge back, and I know he's a huge difference maker. But they need more guys like that kid in Miami. I know he's hitting .381. Arise. More contact, bat-to-ball skills to go with the power of Aaron Judge. And right now, I just don't see it. You know, are they a lot of guys banged up? Yes, there's a lot of guys in that lineup that banged up. But they haven't swung the bat. And, you know, you've got to be able to score runs, especially in that division, if you're going to give yourself a chance to get to the wild card.
Did the Yankees just need a complete overhaul? I know Cashman has been there forever. Boone's been the manager there now for a long time. Is it just time to maybe get some new voices in there?
You know, it's tough to say that because they're, five games above .500? I mean, they're still winning ball games, but you got to remember, in the division with the Orioles, in the division with the Rays, they're both playing great baseball, and the Blue Jays have played great baseball. Well, it's just tough to win in that division. I don't think they need an overhaul. I think they need to maybe change their game plan, and I think it started with Sean Casey. Bringing in a guy like the bat-to-ball skills, the anti-launch ankle stuff, I think they're going to start to bring in pieces in the future that will complement guys like Giancarlo Stanton and obviously Aaron Judge.
Talking to Jerry Hairston Jr., how about the Angels' decision to not trade Ohtani in the final year of his contract? Angels are 56 and 51, three games back of that second wild card spot.
To be honest, I think it's bold. And if I'm a guy who really wanted Ohtani to be a Dodger, I kind of respect it. I really do. They're playing really good baseball, even without Mike Trout. They've added pieces, and they've told everybody in the clubhouse, because you guys have played hard, we believe in you, and we feel we have a chance at a wild card to get to the postseason. And they're going to get Mike Trout back, I had heard, sooner rather than later. You bring in a Mike Trout when there are four or five or six games above 500 to make a postseason push with the guys that they added. They could be a serious team that you wouldn't want to face if they get in the postseason.
And I would love to see him make the playoffs, because we've only seen Mike Trout play in three postseason games. We've never seen Ohtani in the postseason. I can't say I'm optimistic, but this year, as we were talking about, the AL is wide open, and who wouldn't love to see two enormous stars in Ohtani and Trout in the playoffs?
You know what's so great about this season? There's not really one dominant team. So once you're in, that's what I always thought. If you get one power arm or you got one arm, it could be the difference. Usually it's that, you know, you want two pieces, maybe three, to really bolster your team if you don't have a super team. But this season, everything's wide open, even in the National League. I know the Braves are the team to beat. I understand that. But there isn't one team that you could look at in the big leagues and say, you know what, man, they are running away with it. Nobody's beating that team. There isn't a team like that. So this landscape, everybody feels they have a chance once they get in it. And that's why you saw so many teams being aggressive here at the deadline.
Hey, anything could happen, as we saw last year in the postseason. But you look at the National League, I really hope, even though I can't stand the Braves, that we see a Dodgers-Braves NLCS, because that would be fantastic.
I hope that for our case, because I want the Dodgers in the NLCS. We know that they have a history. Both teams have squared off a couple times in the NLCS. Both teams are well-run, well-coached, well-managed. And you got star power within those lines. Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, obviously Olsen, and Acuna Jr. there with the Braves. So that would be ideal. But again, I just said, anything can happen in the postseason, especially this season.
Jerry Hairston Jr., are you confident, though, in the Dodgers? I know the Giants and the Diamondbacks are right behind them, but you look at that lineup, if they could just get the pitching healthy, they're going to be a tough out.
The Dodgers lineup, when healthy, has been incredible, a juggernaut. I know that Will Smith just injured his elbow. I think he's back in the lineup tonight. J.D. Martinez is dealing with a hamstring injury. Hopefully he's back and he can avoid the IL, and we just got Mookie Betts back. The health is so important. The pitching. Listen, the pitchers understand they have not pitched well. They have been banged up. We're hopefully getting Clayton Kershaw back in the next couple weeks or so. I had heard there's a big rumor going around that Walker Buehler is going to be throwing to live batters in about a week to 10 days. So that could be a wild card. Obviously, you don't want to rush him. You want to make sure he's 100% if he does decide to come back. You never know. But the biggest thing for the Dodgers is health. If they're healthy and they got their guys in place and they're healthy, they're going to be a tough out.
Now, you could dream this time of the year, especially I'm a Mets fan, so my team really doesn't have much hope. I was kind of hoping Verlander would go to the Dodgers, and I was intrigued by Bobby Miller with what he's done in, 10 or 11 starts so far. What have been your impressions of Bobby Miller?
Bobby Miller has everything you want in a front-of-the-rotation type of guy. We've asked a lot of him at such a young age, early. We had to rush him. We had to rush him a little bit because of the injuries to our starting rotation. We had to rush Sheehan as well. He avoided Triple A. That's how much we rushed him because of the injuries to our starting staff. I really like both those guys, but Bobby Miller, you know, throws the ball 100, 101 miles an hour. His breaking stuff, secondary pitches, they're still a work in progress, but when it's on, they are devastating, and his changeup is really good. So he's a guy who could throw four or five different pitches. He's very confident. You know what I love about him? He's a Chicago kid and is a Bears fan, so you know he is tough as nails. So he's going to be a guy that he should be in this rotation and be very good for the Dodgers for many years to come.
Maybe he should have played quarterback.
No. He's right where he needs to be. We got our quarterback in Chicago and Justin Fields, who I think will be an MVP candidate this season. Not next season. This season. You heard it here first. And Bobby Miller will be a great pitcher for the Dodgers for over a decade.
I already have one hot take artist here, my producer, Hot Take Hickey. Don't make me start calling you Hot Take Hairston, all right?
I like that. But you're going to have to pay me for my hot takes, though. All right? You're going to have to pay me. This one was free.
Jerry Hairston Jr. with us. Where do you think Ohtani's going to be next year?
I have a feeling Ohtani is going to be in Southern California next year.
Which team?
I have a feeling Ohtani is going to be in Southern California. And he's a huge fan. He's a huge fan of a superstar outfielder, too. Huge fan. So he's going to be teammates with one of those.
Okay. I'm going to predict that he's going to be with the Giants. Third time maybe a charm. They tried for Harper. They tried for Aaron Judge. What, arson judge is what John Heyman called him, but I'm going to say that the Giants end up striking gold, which I know you wouldn't be happy about.
I would be crushed, but I'm going to say this. For the first time, we're going to see a guy who's going to be offered more than $600 million. That's going to happen, and he's going to be worth it. He's going to be worth it. He's a difference maker on the field. He's a difference maker at the plate, and he's a difference maker with revenue. So, I mean, he's worth the money. He's a global superstar, the best athlete on the planet. He's going to be worth every penny.
And the Dodgers are always linked to him. Are you confident that he'll wind up with the Dodgers?
I would love to see him in Dodger blue because, you know what, he would look so good in Dodger blue. You don't want him in those other colors. Are you kidding me? You want him in Dodger blue, shiny, it's Hollywood. I mean, he's a good-looking guy. This is where he needs to be.
Last thing I'll ask you, when you look at the NL Central, right? You got a nice little battle going on here with the Reds, the Brewers, and the Cubbies as well, who have started to get hot, especially in their last 10 going 8-2. I like stars in the postseason, so I would love to see Elly De La Cruz, what he's been able to do, but how about what Christian Yelich has been able to do with the Brewers as of late?
I love what Christian Yelich has done, especially now that he's healthy, and he's revamped his swing. You know, sometimes you gotta change yourself a little bit, especially as you get older. You don't have that fast twitch anymore, and he was able to now have a toe tap instead of the leg kick. That has worked for him. He's hitting balls on the barrel all the time. That is good for the Milwaukee Brewers. It's good for baseball. And you mentioned Elly De La Cruz. We just got a chance to see him just a couple days ago. Had 4 hits at Dodger Stadium. He is electric. The athletes that are in baseball today, it's so fun to see. It's great for the kids to watch these guys play on a nightly basis. And, yeah, I would love to see Elly De La Cruz in the postseason. But I have a feeling in the next several years we're going to see a lot of Elly De La Cruz. He's that special.
Last thing, this time I actually mean it, Jerry Hairston Jr. The Padres now 5 games back of that final wild card spot. They've been a team to me so disappointing. The Mets as well, but they gave up here at the deadline. You look at the Padres. What's their outlook here in the final 2 months of the season?
It's hard to say because they should be playing a lot better than they have been. Their talent is there. The lineup is there. Their pitching has been really good too. So they have been the biggest mystery. For whatever reason, they've struggled with runners on base. And you got to be able to hit with runners on base if you're going to be able to score runs. So, again, I don't fault them for trying to go for it because they certainly have the roster. Yes, they've been disappointed. I want to mention Cody Bellinger, too. We'll talk about the Cubs.
Yeah.
Because they deserve to be praised. They decided not to sell. Good for them. Good for that city. And Cody Bellinger has found a home there. I've said it all the time. The last three years for the Dodgers, he really struggled at the plate. What he has done, he has shortened his swing. He's now allowed his athleticism to really take over. He is special in the batter's box again, and he's always been special defensively. In my opinion, he's the best defensive center fielder in all of baseball, and he's incredible at first base when he does play there. So I'm so happy for Cody Bellinger. I hope he's a Cub. Instead of trading him, which they didn't, I'm glad they did. I'm hoping that he signs a long-term deal because it has been the perfect marriage, and I'm happy for the city of Chicago. Because their team has been playing great baseball, and I'm glad that they decided not to sell.
Jerry Hairston Jr., appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much.
Anytime, buddy.
There you go. Jerry Hairston Jr. joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a break when we come on back. Little Ian Rappaport update on Jonathan Taylor. We'll get Hickey's reaction on that, and we'll see if Hickey's actually in a good mood or not, or if he's still having a funeral and is still in mourning over all the dysfunction going on in the Colts organization.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, from Dove Kleiman on Twitter, NFL teams are planning to call the Colts about a trade for all-pro running back Jonathan Taylor, and that comes from Ian Rappaport. Rappaport talked to several GMs across the league, and league-wide trade interest is expected. There are NFL teams that are willing to do a real contract for him per the report from Rap Sheet in Ian Rappaport. Now, yesterday, Hickey, we got into the conversation of, is this relationship fractured beyond repair? And sure, the Colts could keep him on the roster. Taylor really has no leverage. They could slap him the franchise tag next year. But since the Colts aren't anywhere close to actually contending, and you have such a disgruntled player who, when healthy, is a star at the running back position and a really good player in this league that could help a lot of teams, even though the running back position isn't as valued as it once is, would you just make that deal? And yesterday I threw out there, if I gave a 2 to you and you were the Colts, would you take it with some conditions to make it a 1? And you said, absolutely. And I said, well, if it's absolutely, how about an outright 2? And you said, sure. And you never thought there'd be a team that would offer a 2 because you're also going to have to pay him. Well, when I hear that Ian Rapoport says there are teams that are willing to do a real contract for him, that's encouraging. And I would still imagine that there would be decent return going to the Indianapolis Colts if, this is a big if, they do in fact take some phone calls, which, to be fair, the owner said they're not trading him now and they're not going to trade him in the middle of the season as well. Your thoughts here with going on with your dysfunctional clown show of a football team?
Still doesn't change from yesterday. Look, teams can talk now. I'm sure they're going to call the Colts and try to fleece them and get Jonathan Taylor for as little draft capital as possible. And if you're saying you can get JT for a sixth-round pick, every team should be on the phone and calling for him. So you can say now, oh, yeah, we'll make calls, and oh, yeah, we're prepared to give him a contract he wants. I'm sure the teams that are going to give him a contract he wants are also not going to fork over any sort of legitimate draft capital that makes it worth it for the Colts and their perspective to trade him. So
but you have to
roster.
Convince the Colts to want to trade him, because right now Jim Irsay said he won't trade him, so you're going to have to give something up in return, and you know when you give something up in return, you're going to have to trade him. That's why I just don't get why you're so quick to dismiss, and I don't think he's getting traded, but I don't get why you're so quick to dismiss that a team's not going to make a legitimate offer and you just throw out like a fifth or a sixth-round pick. That's not going to get it done.
Because from what I've seen, like, look at the NFL trend. No one does this. Josh Jacobs was out there for the taking. No one was calling the Raiders. Saquon Barkley could have been had. No one was interested.
Christian McCaffrey?
Christian McCaffrey's the only guy. And well, that contract was already done.
And Christian McCaffrey ended up getting traded to the Niners for a nice amount.
So I'm saying you acquired him, but you don't have to worry about the contract part of it.
Well,
it was already done.
So Saquon Barkley, there was some interest there, right? That there was that conversation supposedly with the Miami Dolphins. The tricky part there is the Dolphins aren't willing to give the long-term deal, you would think. And Saquon's going to want a long-term deal. But if you're having teams that are willing to give a real deal, and I don't know what that real deal is, but if they're willing to give a real deal, you would get something significant back, a second-round pick for Jonathan Taylor, no doubt about it. Bare minimum.
I think you're being naive here, personally.
I'm not. We just saw McCaffrey.
This is talking season. It's very easy now for teams to float out there. We're all from a real deal, whatever that means. And again, they technically can't be talking to Jonathan Taylor or his agent. That is called tampering. So you have no idea exactly what offer Jonathan Taylor would accept, even though the reports are out there he wants $60 million. You know, I know, he's not getting $60 million.
No, but you have a ballpark of how, you know, of what is out
accept.
There. The Colts haven't even had contract negotiations with him yet. So it's whatever they offer is better than what the Colts are offering, because the Colts aren't offering anything.
And why would the Colts do it? Unless you give up legitimate draft capital, which, again, different story. I don't think that's coming down the pike. There's no real reason right now for the Colts
to make capital to you.
First round pick, second round pick.
You could get a second round pick for Jonathan Taylor. The guy is young. He's still in the prime of his career. And I know he's coming off an injury, but just a year ago, the dude was a dominant running back. I'm not being naive here. I just said I don't think a deal is going to happen because I don't think the Colts are going to trade him. But they probably should at this point.
Well, what's the difference between him and Josh Jacobs? Jonathan Taylor, that is.
Josh Jacobs is on a tag right now.
Right, so I'm saying teams could have traded for him and could have gave him an extension. He led the NFL in rushing last year. Jonathan Taylor
is a better player than Josh Jacobs. Jacobs has had one great year. Jonathan Taylor's had two great seasons.
And then he's coming off an injury last year. So, again, you aren't talking about, like, value, and if you're going to trade for a running back, you give him this big-time deal, no one was sniffing around any of these other guys that were available and out there. I in this current depressed or suppressed running back market, I will refuse to believe until I see it actually happen, a team will give up legitimate draft capital and pay Jonathan Taylor the requisite contract extension he's looking for, do that all in one move. I don't think it's coming.
I think the consistent upside that you've seen and the consistent play that you've seen in his first 3 years, for the most part in this league, there would be a team that would be willing to bite. Let's go to Dwight Freeney. At least one team out there, if someone's willing to do it for Christian McCaffrey, and I know McCaffrey's perceived to be a more all-around better player, I do think someone would be willing to give a 2 at bare minimum up for Jonathan Taylor. Here's Dwight Freeney saying Jonathan Taylor shouldn't have requested a trade.
I just don't really understand what Jonathan and his agent is really thinking. If I was him, this would be a perfect place for me to stay. When the market is kind of in flux and you don't know, stay home. Stay where people know you and people love you. All right, especially with this new system that they're going to be putting in, all these RPOs, it's going to be a run-heavy offense. You have an opportunity to put up big, big numbers. This is where you need to be. I don't know where you think you're going to go.
And I think Dwight brings up some good points because if, let's just say, Hickey is right and no one's actually to come calling, and I do think there's a difference with Jonathan Taylor and Josh Jacobs because Jonathan Taylor hasn't reached the franchise tag yet. He's only 1 year away, so you could still control him for another year, but if you're going to trade for him, you're going to have to probably give him that new deal, and you'd be willing to give that new deal. But if you look at it from Jonathan Taylor's standpoint, they're going to use you a lot this year. Now, you could look at that as a bad thing because you get dinged up and you could get hurt, but if they use you a lot, you're going to have those enormous numbers like you did a few years ago where you're putting up 1,800 yards, 1,700 yards running the football, and if the Colts don't want to pay you after that, then someone will trade you, and they'll look at it as, oh, he only has 4 years in the league. And then you think someone will give you what you want, and you're in a good position this year with a quarterback that's a question mark in Indianapolis to bounce back and have a monster season as long as your health holds up. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. News brief next.